Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. Now with over 280,000 members and growing in our Facebook group, this is Rod Stuckey. Here with me, EVBiz co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great.
Good to have you, as always. In this podcast today, we're going to cover some interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group, including favorite tips for new Tesla owners, extending tire life, how to handle power outages, Model 3 versus Model Y comparison, and how long do Tesla batteries last. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, it's the largest Tesla Tips community in the world on Facebook with over 280,000 members. And our community provides real-world tips for current and prospective Tesla owners to maximize their Tesla ownership experience. Obviously, you know, with Tesla Tips and Tricks having 280,000 members, you can imagine that the comments can sometimes get out of hand. And, you know, we work really hard to fight spam, to remove inappropriate content, and really ensure the community is remaining polite and courteous for all members. I do also want to mention that if you're in the market to sell or to buy a clean Tesla, man, go to www.teslatipsandtricks.com. Check out our T3 marketplace. You can avoid all that typical marketplace drama, and you can have a really incredible experience. It's the absolute best way to buy or sell a Tesla.
That's right. Best of all, it's safe and secure. And done right. So with that in mind, we're going to jump into the top five posts. Please click like and subscribe buttons. It really helps to keep the Tesla Tips and Tricks content coming your way. Coming in at number five, Tori, I'm going to kick it over to you here. What are your favorite Tesla tips for new owners? This is a good one.
It is. Yeah. Ethan asked this. And man, there's a lot of really good responses here. So recommend that you join our group. Just search up Tesla Tips and Tricks and you'll find us there on Facebook. But I'll read through some of them. First from Danuth, it says that battery doesn't store miles. Set it to battery percentage instead of range in miles so that you can understand that your battery is being used by all the systems in the car, not just range. So that's a really good piece of advice there. Set your home address in the satellite so that when you want to navigate home, you can just swipe down on the text box on the navigation. This is one that I use all the time. And you can just put on the destination on the big main screen in the Tesla and just swipe your finger down and it'll take you home. So that's a really good tip there. Nicole says, get the sunshade for the roof. There's a lot of glass up there. So if you're in Florida summer, or Georgia, where I am, you're in Florida, of course, Rod. But the sunshade, yeah, the sunshade to block the light and the heat getting into the car. The tint and the UV blocking on Tesla windows is very, very good, but a shade is better. Nicole also says to get a tire plug kit and a pump since there's no spare. That's great advice.
Ooh, yeah, that is good.
Raj says to enable the pin to drive feature if you're in sketchy areas, just in case you forget your phone in your car and then somebody could drive because your phone's your key. Carlo says to just try to be light footed on the accelerator pedal and you'll save range and tires. And this one is funny because most people who buy a Tesla, some people buy it because they want to be, you know, price conscious and the efficiency of it, but a lot of people buy them because of that instant torque, and that's hard to do in a Tesla. Sometimes you just want to, you know, put it to the floor.
Yeah.
And,
let it eat. It feels good to rip it a little bit.
Brad says, charge as low as you can daily for good battery health. And I want to explain this one. When you charge your battery, there is ABC, and I'm surprised nobody has said that yet. It means always be charging. Could actually be better said to always be connected to the charger, ABC, but you want to charge to as close to 50% as you can with what you normally drive. I typically charge to 65% every single time I park my Tesla in the driveway. I plug it in and it's going to charge to 65%. That's still healthy. It gives me plenty of range. I'm comfortable with that, but charging to 80 and waiting for it to go down to less than 20, you don't have to do that. Just keep it charged. Always be connected and charging. Let it charge overnight to save some money if your power company has rates that are less in non-prime time. That's what I do as well. And I save a couple of cents per kilowatt hour. But keep that 50 to 70% charged.
To clarify on that, shouldn't you, since we're not talking about a specific year, make, model, shouldn't that the asterisk be there to charge to what your car is recommending you charge to? Because my Model X says charge to 80%. And so I'm going to do what the Tesla engineers are telling me to do for optimal battery health. Doesn't with all the software updates, the car tells you what the optimum charge to every night it should be?
That's a good point. I will say one thing though, that you have to be careful with, why do you say that your car is telling you to charge to 80%? Because there's a range that shows 60 to 80% daily, or does your app say you should charge to 80%?
It says 80%.
And so what I would tell people to do in the Tesla app, I'll show this here, is if you go to charge stats or charging, down at the bottom, you will have a charging tips section. And so when I look at my charging tips, it says on day-to-day, it actually says, I'll read this, we recommend leaving your vehicle plugged in when not in use to help maintain your battery's optimal level of charge. And then it says, to maximize your battery's lifespan, charge at home for daily trips, reserve supercharging for longer trips when you need faster charging speed. And then it goes to another one that talks about navigation. But when I pull up charging on my screen and I go to charging when I'm plugged in, it shows me a daily range. And there's a low side of the daily range of 60% or 50%, and there's a high side to 80%. But what I know from doing the research is it shows that range and you can go up to 80%, but it's better to be closer to 50% overall. So just be mindful of that range that could be there in your app. And then also, to your point, if you have an LFP battery, you're supposed to charge to 100%. It's designed right for it. Yeah. So yes, do what your app tells you. Look at the charging tips. And for most batteries, lithium ion batteries, you're going to want to charge as close to 50% as you can. 80% is okay, but as close to 50% as you're comfortable doing.
Yep. I love this one from Susan. Push the button of the charging cover to open your charge port door. I know this seems like such common sense to experienced people, but when I first got my car, and I would go to the screen to open the charge port, and then when I would get out of the car, the charge port is open. And I think that was an ICE, maybe I was flashing back to my mom's old Nissan 300ZX where I had to flip the lever and open the gas nozzle door, you know?
Yeah.
But if you always opened your charge port from your screen in the car, you would never know how much easier it is to push the button on the charging cover. And by the way, that works at superchargers and on your home charger too. So
yeah, there's a button on that, on the charger, on the end of the cable, you press it and it opens the door. That's good. Sarah says buy the rim protectors and wrap the car to protect the paint. The rim protectors are a good idea because a lot of Teslas the tire doesn't stick out further than the wheel very much. And so it's easy to curb, to where in a lot of other cars, if you hit a curb, you don't damage the wheels as easily because there's more rubber that's sticking out on the outside edge of the wheel. And Teslas don't have that as much.
Tori, why does wrapping, she says wrap the car to protect it, but why does the wrap seem to be so much more popular with Teslas than other brands?
Well, I think a couple of reasons, but the primary reason is it's not the quality of the paint. And some people say that it's the quality of the paint. No, it's cheap paint and it chips. If you look at the front of a Tesla compared to another vehicle, other vehicles have a lot of plastic and chrome and grills because they have radiators and they they don't have just a big front painted surface like a Tesla does, because it's got the little area for AC and battery cooling, you know, for the little section at the bottom to get a little air there for when it needs it. But it doesn't have a big radiator, therefore there's no grill. It's just all painted. So therefore there's more paint for it for bugs and for rocks and for other things to hit as you're driving down the road. So you tend to get more paint chips. I've just not experienced that it's a cheaper paint, but so that's another good reason. And then another thing too is, you know, I'm used to a truck, and in a truck, you're a little higher off the ground. You never get, in a lot of SUVs and trucks, you don't get as much debris or rock chips because you're higher off the ground. Teslas tend to be a little lower to the ground, and we'll talk about that low ride height in a minute. But I think that's two reasons why they tend to get a little bit more damage on the front end, and why people want to do the paint protection film.
Yeah.
Yep. And then just a couple of more. Is home chargers a must? I totally agree with that. The home charger allows you to essentially have a full tank of gas every time you leave the house. And it's so awesome to be able to always have plenty of range to go drive around town, never have to stop at a gas station. Jim says, drive it like you stole it. I love that. Nat says, purchase separate roadside assistance.
Chris mentions, you know, if you go through a drive-through car wash, know that you need to put it in car wash mode. You go to service and then on your screen, and then kick it into car wash mode, or use your voice prompt to put it in car wash mode. But that's something a little bit unique that you're not used to in an ICE vehicle. It's basically the same as putting your ICE vehicle in neutral, but it is a little bit different and can be a little bit hectic when you're pulling up and the attendant is telling you to pull forward and you're trying to go to your screen and turn that on. So,
and you got
to
hit the brake, and then you got, yeah, car wash mode is great. Just a couple of more here and we'll be done with this question. But Dustin says, hey, read the manual. I think that's a good tip, but we're here to help, of course. So you can post your questions in our group if you have questions. Tim, I love this one. Don't worry about the battery running out and just drive it like a gas car. When the battery gets low, fill it up. You know, and when you're going somewhere, you put your address and navigation. If you need to stop at a supercharger, it will route you there. And then Mark says, keep the Sentry mode on just for the video recording for protection. And then Vaughn, a last one here. This one is practical, especially on the stalkless Teslas like you have, Rod. Know how to turn on the windshield wipers before you need them.
Yes.
That's good advice.
Yes.
Yep. So that's it.
All right. That's, and there's so many more. And that's why, if you're not already a member of the Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group, go join it. Every single day, there's 30 to 40 new posts with really good information. You really never stop learning. So, moving on to this next post, number four, I've only got 12,000 miles out of my Michelin tires. Is that normal? ! I know they go through tires quick, but this seems crazy. The tire guy told me 12 to 20,000 miles is normal for Teslas. What is everyone's experience with tires? I do put a lot of miles with road trips and long commute to work each day, but this is going to mean new tires every 6 months for me. Any tips? I know I need to rotate them off.
Well, in Teslas, you can't rotate them if they're staggered. So that's one thing that you should know. But this.
Explain that real quick, Tori. That's if they're staggered, that's a S, Model S. What else?
Model X has staggered wheels. And basically, the rear wheels are wider, they're bigger than the front wheels. And so you can't switch them. So you can switch them from one side to the other, but that doesn't really help, especially in the rear, because of the way that they wear in what we'll show a second with negative camber in the suspension. But I do want to point out here that it's a tough question to answer with his specifically about the 12,000 miles or 12 to 20, because it depends on the tire that you get. If you're getting a tire that's a softer compound that's made for traction and racing and gripping the road, the warranty on that tire, the rated warranty might be 35,000 miles. And yeah, if you get 20 out of that, that could be kind of normal, but you definitely get more than 12, or you can. But the primary cause of the wear, as you can see on his tires, the tread is low. It has been used, but you can see how the inside of that tire on the left side, or in this bigger picture, the side that's closer to the camera, is worn out. That would have been what's on the inside. And I know that to be true because Teslas have negative camber. Most of them do. A lot of them do. And here's what negative camber is. It's when the outside of the tire sticks out further than the inside. So you're riding like this. You're riding on the inside edge of that tire. And, you know, what's good for battery life is keeping your pressure and your PSI. So that'll help with overall battery life. You know, rotating your tires when you can will, and then not being aggressive on the gas will save a lot of tire life, but none of that can fix the negative camber issue. And the reason that it's doing that is just the way that the suspension is set up. And the lower that you put your Tesla, for those that have adjustable suspensions, the lower that you set it, there it's an independent rear suspension, and the lower that you go, the more it does that. And the higher that you go, the more it straightens out. But they always tend to have a negative camber. And what causes that negative camber, you can see here's a picture of I don't know what model this is. I just found this. Oh, it's a X. It's a P90D Model X.
Aha. Well, that explains the negative camber.
Yep. So you can see there's a lot of tread left on the outside of the tire, but when you're hitting the gas, he's got a performance model. So when he's stomping on the gas, which causes the suspension to lower even more because you're getting on it, you're transferring weight, then it is it's going on the inside edge even more. And now when you've got a performance model, especially, and you're putting 600, 700, 800, 1,000 horsepower to, instead of this much tire, you're putting it on really this much tire, it chews it up. And yeah. So there's a fix for this. And it's our friends over at Intuitive. Now, there are some cheap eBay ones, and I'll tell you, I've tried it. I've tried the cheap eBay one, and it bit me, because I'll show you here in just a second. So I'll come back to that. We're going to go to the camber and toe arms for model S and X. You can see it's for 3 and Y here, but I'm just going to go to S and X because we were looking at the Model X. So if we look at the camber arms for a Model S or X, what this does is it makes the arm that is on the top of connected to the top of the wheel axle or the wheel assembly, it makes it adjustable so that you can straighten out the wheel and make it parallel to the ground at your normal ride height. And therefore you can save tires and spend a little bit of money on the better stuff, because there's a picture that they had, right here that shows this cheap bushing being ripped out. Man, I got burned by this. I found some on eBay and I put them on, and they actually ended up, the wheel moved and was actually rubbing into the inner fender well of my area.
Wheel well.
Yeah, wheel well. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, my wheel well. And it was because these rubber grommets on both sides were just too soft. And essentially, after I installed them and put, you know, a few hundred miles on them, I could move the wheel a little bit. It was so weak. So the Intuitive brand is much better at their settings. They actually have measurements on them that are much easier to see. You can kind of see the numbers on this image right here, and they're better quality, and they're polyurethane bushings that are made for the electric vehicle horsepower and torque that we have. So go to Intuitive. These guys are awesome. They have the best products for this. And you look and you go, man, that's $600, $800. That's really, that's kind of pricey. But you know what's pricey is only, it's even pricier to only get 6,000 miles out of your tires, or 12,000 miles. So this is the difference between getting normal wear out of a tire, depending on your driving pattern and your driving habits. If you floor it all the time, accelerate, you're going to chew rubber up more frequently. But getting what you should out of a tire in normal wear, and not only getting 6,000 or 7,000 miles out of a tire. This makes a huge difference.
For our new listeners, Tori's a former drag racer, that's still drag racer mechanic, and I am a very much a OEM, keep it kind of sort of stock. I don't like putting aftermarket stuff on my brand new vehicle. And so I wrestle with the aftermarket camber arms on my Model X. And that brings me to, you know, some of these other comments. There's just, we already talked about tire pressure, but, you know, being sure that you have a proper alignment is a big thing. Some other comments, Dave talks about the suspension setting, and, you know, you may not want to keep it in the lower ride height. Maybe try the medium ride height or either the higher. Tori, can the higher ride height setting in your suspension actually reduce that camber situation some?
It does help, but it typically doesn't remove the problem all the way.
Because you're still going to squat when you get on the gas.
It's still a little negative. Yeah. And you can't drive. If you could keep it in very high, it would be optimal. It doesn't look as good, but you also can't drive over 35 miles an hour in any mode above medium. So your ride heights are very low, medium, high, very high. Very high and high are only available below 35 miles an hour. Very high might even be limited to 5 miles an hour, I think, maybe. But yeah. I know for sure 35 miles an hour, if you go above that, it's going to lower to medium automatically. It won't let you do anything above that. And medium on my Model X still had negative camber.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of interesting. Rick here says 65,000 miles on my OEM Michelin's. My commute is 160 miles round trip, about 70% freeway at 80 plus miles an hour and 30% country twisties. I rotate every 6,000 miles, check alignment every 1 to 2 years, and drive in chill mode 99% of the time. Hankook Ion EVOs are looking like they'll get me in about the same. Now, I'm assuming he's not in a Model X, though, Tori. He's saying he rotates every... I think I know my 2018 Model X, it was bad. I mean, it was cooking the inside of the rear tires. It was pretty frustrating. So
we were showing, it was showing tread. Like you could see just like this picture I showed here.
Yeah, like the outside of the tire looked great. Like these are nothing wrong with them. We didn't even know the tires were bald until you looked like with a flashlight into the wheel well.
And that's the danger here. And these pictures that they show down here of these blowouts are because when you're walking up to your Model X, for instance, and these pictures are Model X's, but when you're walking up to your Model X, you only see the outside couple of few inches of the tire and you've got 60% of your tread left. Man, you're great. You're looking good. And then you have a blowout because you were showing tread and you didn't even know it. So definitely recommend doing this. Also, just, you know, monitor, watch your tire warranties. Be sure that you get a tire that's good for EVs because believe it or not, tires impact range and they can make a big difference on range. So do some research, ask the group what they have experienced. And then, man, take advantage of these control arms at Intuitive if you want to. Their website is in2. And ITIV, intive.me. So that's Intuitive.
You know, Robert here says, cambered wheels and heavy, powerful car equals bald inner parts of tires. And I hate to agree with Robert, but to some extent, that is 12,000 miles is not enough. There's something off there, but
Well, he's probably driving aggressive. And a lot of these people who were saying that's not normal, they're in a 2021 Model 3 that doesn't have this issue.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So you just, if you're having this issue on the rear, it's because of that negative camber and there's not any adjustment for camber in the rear. If you're having the problem in the front, completely different story. There's all of the alignment adjustments in the front of a Tesla. No big deal. But if you're having it in the rear, it's the negative camber issue.
Yeah, Jed says, my Michelin Pilot Sport all season fours. I like that he's giving which model Michelins he has.
Yeah.
Because to your point, Tori, if it's a high performance sport.
Soft compound.
Soft compound tire, it's going to wear out so much faster. So it might be worth looking into these Michelin Pilot Sport all season fours. Jed says he's got 40,000 miles on them on his Model Y Performance, still with plenty of tread to last through the summer. And he mentions bad alignment, improper tire pressure, neglecting tire rotations, and frequent hard acceleration, deceleration are your biggest tire killers. So that's some good information.
You can even see his picture. I've got Jed's comment pulled up. And you can even see in his picture, the camera's at an angle, but yeah. I can totally tell he's got negative camber.
Yeah, you can.
You can see it in the picture.
Now, he's got a Model Y, and he's mentioning rotation. Tori, can you still rotate? Is there value in rotating side to side? Or
it doesn't fix the inner wear, and that's where the problem is. Yeah. So is there some value? Yeah, but not enough where you would notice it, because the inside edge is going to wear out in 12,000 miles.
It's still going to be the inside edge when you put it on the other side.
Right. And if you think, you know, a tire is designed for, call it 40,000 miles of consistent across the 10 inches of tread, the 10 inches of rubber on the ground. Well, if you only use 4 inches or 3 inches of rubber on the ground, that even if you're not accelerating hard all the time, you're still going to chew through tires because you're simply just not using all of the tread and the rubber that it was designed to use.
Rowino says, my first set of tires lasted almost the exact same. When I got my second set, I drive with ease now. I don't race everyone anymore.
I know that's the thing.
I can relate a little bit, you know. Sometimes, you know, you just want to.
Yep.
Oh, pretend right. Like you're 18 again. So, all right. We done with tires. Ready to move on, Tori?
Ready to move on.
All right. If number three, if power goes out at your home, what do you do if you drive a Tesla? This is my one concern about purchasing one. Where I live, we have hurricanes and have gone a full week plus without power.
This is a great question. Jason nails it. Obviously, if you're ABC, if you plug it in every day, you're going to have your 65, 70, you mentioned 80% battery. Depending on what battery your car has, if you have LFP, you're going to charge it to 100%. And that's going to help. You're never going to have a hurricane and go outside and your ICE vehicle has an eighth of a tank. And by the way, one of the comments here I noticed by Noelle, she said, I'd rather have a Tesla in this situation. And I think of this for a couple of reasons. She says, because you can put it in camp mode, you can sleep in there. With AC, you can charge your phone. Of course, the battery will run out at some point, but I would rather have a Tesla in that situation just if I'm going to stay local, because I don't have to worry about trying to go and get gas, right? Right? Yeah. And I can charge with the generator. And I didn't see anybody yet talking about a generator, but I have
a generator. Nathan says pre-charge to 100% before the storm, get a generator, drive a different charger that has power.
That's another thing is, you know, the shopping centers where the superchargers are will probably get power before your house if you lose power. And so go there. Some of them even have backup, you know, generators as well. So you can try going there. But I think that every Tesla owner, that especially if you live in a hurricane area, if you don't have a generator for your house, you should get one that can charge your car. Just in case. I think that's a good thing there. Yeah,
but let me flip this question, Tori, if not for a hurricane, but let's say you had, you know, a thunderstorm and you lost power and your power company says it'll be back on within 24 hours. Can you use your Tesla if it was charged to 100% to run your refrigerator or get your AC working?
Not most of them. The Cybertruck was the first one to roll out with PowerShare, and it allows you to share. You can plug another EV into it. You can also, if you have the right adapters in the house, and the Foundation Series Cybertrucks came with this, where you can power your house. But, you know, Teslas don't have a 110-volt receptacle in there, and I've got a 12-volt adapter for charging my laptop. Maybe the newer Teslas have 110-volt. I'm not sure about that, but my Model X doesn't. And so I use the little 12-volt accessory plug with a power adapter inverter, and it provides 110-volt, but it won't provide the amps to do like a refrigerator or anything like that. And the most Teslas, except for the Cybertruck, aren't designed to be a power source, a big power source on the outside. What Noel's comment was, you know, you can sit in the car, charge your phone in the AC, put it on camp mode. If you have a Model X or a Model Y, lay down the back seats, push everything forward, put down some blankets. You got a little place to lay down, and you could sleep in the cool if there's not too many of you. But most Teslas, except for the Cybertruck, can't power a house or big accessories from a house.
Yeah. And it being down here where I'm at in Florida last year during Milton, I learned the hard way that gas, there's no gas anywhere. So, you know, just like you better, you know, fuel up your ICE vehicle before a storm, you better charge your EV, your Tesla, before a hurricane as well, because it doesn't matter if you're electric or ICE, if a hurricane comes, you're probably going to need to be prepared.
So. Well, that's what Andy says is, you know, drive to a public charger. Petrol stations or gas stations are dependent on power as well. They have to have power for pumps. And then last comment here.
And during a hurricane, they're not out because of the power. There is no fuel. It is gone.
That too. Yeah. And that's what Jane said is, and most gas stations are out of gas. But Brendan says, hey, it's difficult to get gas in a natural disaster. I think you're putting too much thought into it. If a hurricane wiped out the power grid, only being able to use your battery once is likely the least of your worries. With that said, this is an area where it could be nice to have an ICE vehicle as well as a Tesla. And so we're certainly not anti-ICE vehicles. And if you're driving out, you know, on a hurricane route and there's a lot of traffic, you might feel more comfortable having an ICE vehicle. You know, and take it. But if you're going to stay in the house, have a generator and be prepared to charge it that way if you need to. But power's typically back on, you know, in hurricane, when big hurricanes come through and mess things up a lot, you're typically not out driving like normal either. So you don't need as much battery life to be scooting around town doing your normal stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the best of both worlds, it's really better, is if you live in hurricane country and you have a generator, but we have a Generac, and then you can still charge your car and you can drive past all the gas stations that are out of fuel. So that's the best of both worlds.
But if a hurricane's come and charge you 100%,
yeah.
Don't if you normally charge to 70 like or 65 like I do. If I knew that, and I've done this before, when I can see that bad thunderstorms are coming through, I up my charge to 100, because just in case, right?
Yeah. All right, number two. Okay, Tesla experts, which would be a better deal, the Model 3 with 29,000 miles or a Y that has 40,000 miles?
Yeah, so 30,000 versus 40,000. I look at this and the 2020 Model 3, 25.5, you know, for $7,400 more, getting a 2-year newer performance edition Model Y.
For those who can't see the screen, the 2020 is a standard range and the 2022 is a performance
Model Y. Yeah. Model Y. The $7,000 is that, to me, it's the Model Y all the way. But Chris says you need to drive them both. They own both. They prefer the Y. It's higher. It's more of an SUV. It's more comfy. The Model 3 is lower to the ground. Feel like you're sitting in a hole, but it drives like a sports car. And the Model Y also has a lot more storage. So if you're going to be hauling kids or you need storage, man, you got to go with the Model Y. What were you saying?
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. You know, every time we do one of these comparisons between the Model 3 and the Model Y, and we tell people to go drive them, people love the storage of the Model Y. If you're, like you said, if you're into golf and you're throwing your golf clubs in, or you're, you know, into the kids, you know, sports and lugging things around, taking the family around, the storage of the Y is a lot of value.
Yep. Alan says that Model 3 is not all-wheel drive and it's a shorter range battery. The Model Y is a performance. It's longer range. It's way faster and it's all-wheel drive. Also, the obvious benefits of more headroom, power hatch, 2 years newer, et cetera. I love what Alan said here. David says, just on that note of driving both of them, you can go and test drive each one at Tesla, at a Tesla dealership, but you can also get used ones from Turo. They do car rentals from individuals, and there are people with Teslas who rent their cars. So check out Turo.com, drive each, see which one you like. Model 3 feels more sporty, drives agile. Model Y, although in this case, the Model Y is going to feel a lot more aggressive because it's a performance edition, not a standard range. So in this case, all signs point to the Model Y, but go drive both, see which one you like.
Yeah, just scrolling through the comments, it's overwhelmingly Y, MYP, Model Y performance, Y, definitely Y, Y, no question, Y, Model Y. It's you know, based upon the group's feedback, it's pretty it's pretty one-sided that the Y is for $7,000 more is a better value. So, all right. Lastly, thinking about buying a new Tesla, one of my biggest concerns is how long the car will last before having to shove out $15,000 for a new battery. I'm also worried about the resale value down the line because customers will know they will have to purchase a new battery soon. We love talking about this one, Tori.
We do. And I'm going to combine this with the Alex asked another question a few days later. How many years can you expect to own a Tesla if you bought it new? The question is a little funny. How many years can you expect to own it? Not how long does it last, but can you expect to own it? Which is a little bit of a fun question. One of the answers down there was, well, if you bought it at 16 and sold it when you were, you know, 86, you could own it for 70 years. You could expect to own it for 70. So I thought that was funny. Obviously, what he means here is, how is it like a normal ICE vehicle? And that's the thing is, I believe it's better than a normal ICE vehicle in many different ways. So a lot of the comments that you find on this before we jump into charge cycles, which we're going to cover here, is just about don't worry about the battery or the drive unit. You're not going to have to dish out $15,000 for a battery. There's an 8-year, 100 or 120,000 mile warranty on the battery. You're not going to have to buy one. And then people are commenting that the price of batteries are coming down, that as more Teslas have been salvaged, you know, crashed, and they're taking the good batteries out of those cars and they're reselling them. There's other providers coming and installing them that are not Tesla. And so the price of a battery replacement is becoming less and less expensive. So you don't have to worry about spending $15,000 for a battery at all. But if you buy a year-old Tesla or 2-year-old Tesla, you'll still have 6 or 7 years of warranty. Yeah. And you know, my Tesla still has, you know, about 4 years left of warranty on the battery and 80,000 miles. I'm not worried about that at all. And even as I get to the end of battery life, which I probably won't keep this Model X that long, I'll get something new. But even as I get closer, if I did keep it and got closer to the end of that warranty, I wouldn't worry about it because of the price of refurbished batteries going down, but also because of what charge cycles are. So here, yes. Tesla batteries are designed to last 1,500 charge cycles. The drive units are designed to last 500,000 to 1,000,000 miles. And so when we look at that, we know that we're going to get a ton of miles out of a Tesla. So what is a charge cycle? 1500 charge cycles, what they're designed for. A charge cycle is the battery charging from zero to 100% to its full capacity. And now we never do that. And so the way that this is measured is in small increments as you charge, as you go. So if you charge from 20% to 50%, that would be 0.3. It's 30% of one charge cycle. And so that's how the math is kept up. And I've been amazed as I've looked at these cars that have, you know, 120,000 miles on them, and they have 800 and something charge cycles or 700 and something charge cycles. So when I think about that, I go, well, hold on. If they've got a 150,000 miles and they've only done half of the charge cycles, that the minimum they're supposed to last is 1500, then even the battery is just at minimum supposed to last the 300,000 miles. So a lot of people who are looking at Teslas get caught up in worrying about the cost of replacing a battery when there's an 8-year warranty and when they're designed to last 1500 charge cycles, which is 250 to 400,000 miles, depending on the range and the kilowatt hours of your battery.
Yeah, I love the charge cycles statistic or benchmark, whatever you want to call it. You know, we compare that to back in Tori and I, you know, in our younger days in ICE vehicle when we were like getting into cars and you know, it's like you could get 100,000 miles out of an ICE vehicle before you knew it needed major repairs, be that an engine rebuild or a transmission or something like that. And so now, to your point, Tori, you know, with 1500 charge cycles times, let's say, if it's 250 miles on average, that's 375,000 miles on that battery. And then the drive motor is 500,000 miles. So you're talking about 4 to 5 times more mileage compared to, you know, back in the day, what an ICE vehicle would get before a major repair, not to mention there's just a lot fewer parts on an electric vehicle than there are on an ICE vehicle. So, and another story that we tell a lot is, you know, Tori and I have done a lot of, you know, we've done a lot in the used Tesla space, and including, refurbishing batteries and replacing batteries. And it's hard. Try to find a Tesla with a bad battery. They're very, very hard to find because there's just not that many of them out there. And so
I was going to mention that
1500 charge cycles, when you understand the way you're explaining it, Tori, that is from zero to 100. That's a lot of mileage. So you can have 150,000 mile Tesla that's barely broken in. It's just getting
halfway there,
ready to be used.
Yeah, and that's what I love. One more comment here. It said, here it is, Noel. Another Noel quote from a different post. I think expensive battery replacement is an anti-Tesla thing. I don't really know anyone who has had to replace their battery. And she mentioned she's owned 3 Teslas. We've had several Teslas. We've never had to, you know, pay for a battery replacement in any of them. And like you said, we actually started looking for people who might have a Tesla with a bad battery that we would purchase and replace the battery in our shop. And it there weren't any.
Yeah.
There just weren't any.
And Scott here brings up a really good point too. The warranty guarantees 70% retention for 8 years or 150,000 miles. So he's basically talking about the degradation. The only bad batteries that we have found, it seems like if they're going to go bad, it's this degradation thing, and it's covered under warranty. So we do find Teslas from time to time that have new batteries, but those new batteries were covered under warranty because they had some type of manufacturer's defect that covered a battery replacement. We just had an auction for one of those, and it was an amazing value because it had a brand new battery that had been replaced under warranty. So they are also have as part of the warranty the protecting you from degradation so that you don't get to your 8 years And the while it still runs, it doesn't have much range left. So that's another really cool thing.